Chazor zeichen ish bach ges shagam un vem yehudim zeh dosuk daf lamed zayin. Mishnah says Rabbi Meir afilu b'mashicha v'chulu. Bryce brings a conversation from the Mishnah that Rabbi Meir attempted to bring a proof from the gold strings used by the people of Yerushalayim to bind their lulavim. They said to Rabbi Meir, that's no proof because underneath the gold, the lulavim were bound with the strings of its kind. Rabbi told the people who would bind the lulavim by the Reish Galusa to make sure to leave some of the lulav exposed below the binding so that the person holding the lulav will not have a separation between his hand and the lulav. Rabbi said anything meant to beautify the lulav does not act as a chatzitza. Similarly, Rabbi said that one should not take the lulav by holding it in a scarf because it would not be considered a complete taking, which is required for the abaminim. Rabbi said that wouldn't be a problem. Rabbi said I can prove that it's not a problem from the requirement to when it says you have to have a lakicha to take the azoiv grass for the process of the sprinkling water for the paraduma ashes on a tummy person. The Mishnah says, now, if the grass is very short, one may tie a string to assist the kohen to lower the grass into the water. We see that handling through a string is not a problem. It's not a problem. It's not a chasorin in taking. In fact, it may be that it's allowed over there because the string is actually attached to the grass and therefore it's treated differently than where the scarf is just used to hold the lulav. Tzachmar Rava said, I can prove from the fact that the Mishnah says if the paraduma ashes were accidentally spilled into the water instead of being placed there intentionally, so it's possible. This suggests that if he intentionally poured the ashes straight from the keli into the water, it would be kosher, even though he didn't hold the ashes in his hand, and even though the pasuk says the ashes have to be taken. From here we see that taking through some other medium is still considered to be a taking. Tzachmar Rava also said, one should not stick the lulav down into the bundle of Aravs and Adasim because that may cause some of the leaves to fall off and become a chatzitza if they remain there unattached. Rabbi said it wouldn't be a chatzitza because this is a like kind, and like kind doesn't become a chatzitza. Rabbi also said if the lulav is too long, one should not cut off a piece from the bottom while it's bound with the other minim because it may cause some of the leaves to become detached from the lulav and become a chatzitza. Rabbi said it wouldn't be a chatzitza because something of like kind does not become a chatzitza. Rabbi said it's also to smell the hadassim used for the mitzvah, but mutter to smell the esrik. The reason for the difference is that a hadass is meant to be smelled. Therefore, when it's designated to be used for a mitzvah, the smelling becomes also. On the other hand, an esrik is meant to be eaten. When it's designated for the mitzvah, it's the eating that becomes also, not the smelling. Rabbi said on Shabbos it's mutter to smell a hadass that's attached to the ground, but it also to smell an esrik that's attached to the ground. The reason for the difference is the hadass is meant to be smelled, which is something that can be done while it's attached to the ground. Therefore, there's no concern that he'll detach it. The esrik is meant to be eaten. If we allow him to smell it, he may come to detach it to be able to use it for its primary purpose, which is eating it. Rabbi said the lulav should be held in the right hand and the esrog held in the left hand. The reason for this is that the lulav has three mitzvahs, the lulav, the hadassim, and the aravos, and the esrog is only one mitzvah. Rabbi Yirmi Yisra Zrika, why do we make the bracha al natilas lulav? And why don't we say al natilas esrog? He answered, because it's the tallest of them all. He asked, why don't we lift the esrog high and make the bracha on that? He answered, I meant when it grows higher up than all the other minim, and that's why we make the bracha on that. Zok the Mishnah. The Mishnah asks, where in Halal does one shake the lulav? So Beis Hillel say, it's done at the beginning and the end of Haidul Hashem and at Ona Hashem, Hoshiyano. Beis Shammai say, it's also done at Ona Hashem, Hatzlichano. Rabbi Kiva said, I watched Rabbi Gamaliel and Rabbi Yeshua and saw that although the rest of the people shook their lulav like Beis Shammai, they only did so at Ona Hashem, Hoshiyano, like Beis Hillel. Frek the Gemara. When was the concept of shaking the lulav mentioned that the Mishnah should go ahead and discuss where it's done? First, the Mishnah should teach. There's a concept we have to shake the lulav and then ask where is it done. Mar said the earlier Mishnah had said that a lulav must be tall enough to shake it. Based on that, the Mishnah says, okay, it's tall enough to shake it. It means it has to be shaken. So where does it have to be shaken? A Mishnah describes how the waving of the Shtei Alechem and the Kivsei HaAtzeres are done. They are waved out and in and then up and down. Rabbi Yechanan explained that they are waved out and in to symbolize as being done for Hashem who owns all four quarters of the earth. And they're waved up and down to symbolize that they're being done for Hashem who owns the heavens and the earth. In Eretz Yisrael they taught that Rav Chama Bar Ukva, the name of Yosef, the son of Rav Chanina, said it's waved in and out to ward off bad winds and bad ruchais, and it's waved up and down to ward off bad dew, bad tal. Rabbi Yosef Bar Ukva said, we see from here that even the non-essential parts of a mitzvah hold off punishment. Because the Shiari Mitzvah Makam Saparanias, because the waving is not essential, and yet it serves to ward off bad ruchais and bad tal, so you see how important it is. Rabbi said the same waving process is done to the lulav as well. Rabbi Yaakov would wave the lulav out and in, and he would say, this is an arrow in the eye of the sultan. The Gemara says, one should not do this, because it will incite the sultan to cause him to do averis.